This is Matt Wells at UN News. With Mali facing what one UN rights expert called dire political, economic and social upheaval, the UN-led humanitarian efforts in the country are vitally important to much of the population. Mbaranga Gasarabwe is the UN Deputy Special Representative in Mali, where she oversees the work of 21 UN humanitarian agencies. During a visit to UN headquarters in November, Ms. Gasarabwe, who has more than 20 years of experience with the United Nations in development and humanitarian assistance, spoke to Connor Lennon and explained that the current situation in Mali is very different and more difficult than it was when she first started working there.
In 2009, I used to be resident coordinator and representative of UNDP, United Nations Development Programme, in Mali. I was also responsible for the other UN United Nations agencies, like UNICEF, like for health, like WHO, and so on. So those agencies were working there. The country was peaceful. There was no, used to have some problem in the north because it's a huge country. It's 1.3 million square kilometers. It's a huge population, also 19 million. But then you have the part of the north is not very populated, but it's huge. And it's a kind of close to Sahara. So it's a really Sahelian part. 2012, it changed. The whole scope changed. Ecosystem changed. We have now peace and security addressing, development and humanitarian. Crisis 2012, coup d'etat, military coup. And then election 2013, now the new president was set over there. But of course, many things has collapsed. You know, you look about the economy, you look at the military system, so have to build up some things. That's where 2010 also was also the arrival of this, what they call the armed group, which invaded Mali. So that's where the French army has to intervene. And then after there was peacekeeping. So that's how the whole mission was set, to help the country to get united, because the north also was also saying, no, we're going to be separated from the country. So that's how Mali was leading out, to set up a united country, but also stabilize the country and set up all this institution, which was completely down.
And what was it like for the UN in Mali at that time? It must have been very frustrating to see a lot of the progress that you'd made go backwards.
Yes, 2011 actually, 2009, 2011 I was there, and then 2011 I was called here to be the Assistant Secretary General for the Department of Safety and Security. So somehow I was following what's going on in Mali. But of course for me, even though there was nothing was perfect, but it was not as such today. And then when I went back, in fact, I asked the Secretary General if you can allow me to go back to see really what happened in Mali. So 2015, I was offered this opportunity to be the Deputy Special Representative of Secretary General over there, and they're dealing with this issue, I told you, development, humanitarian, peace building, and so on. And that's how now I look at little beyond, and I said, oh my goodness, many things have changed, because you have to rebuild the whole army, you have to have the whole protection, security, the whole zone over there, and the north, and in the same time, negotiating peace to make sure that all the population in the north, south, are united and are together. They belong to the same country.
And the other complication, I presume, is the fact that these issues in terms of peace and security don't just affect Mali. It's the whole Sahel region
today,
which is being destabilized.
Today, yes. You know, some people will argue and say that maybe the collapse of Libya has also brought a lot of arms and the trafficking in the whole Sahara. It's a huge, huge, huge place in that place. So you cannot maybe have the whole protection of the territory. And therefore, the whole part, if you look at the Sahel region, maybe people don't know, but they can look at the map. Mali is surrounded by seven countries. So those countries surrounding Mali, if Mali is not fixed, stabilized, it can affect the region. And now we see Burkina Faso, Niger are definitely affected. And if you look at the borders are not well protected. So people can come and hunt and so on. So you have a lot of trafficking, you know. And
does that mean you've had to improve your coordination with colleagues in those countries, in Burkina Faso?
Definitely, yes. And in fact, matter of fact, we're just attending the Global Resident Coordinator meeting here in New York, and we talk a lot about the cross-border issues. We have initiated with my two colleagues in Niger and Burkina Faso a program, you know, how to set up a program on a cross-border dimension. In most of the countries in Africa, you can just cross the border. You can go where there is a green pasture. the other side, and you come back. So this is how population live. So with this sort of this trouble, I think has been a challenge for the population really across the line, and then having the, you know, this armed group attacking them. And those, of course, the population have been really, we have a lot of internally displaced people. We have to feed them. We have to do everything for them because they have left their places. Now the challenge I'm having as a humanitarian coordinator, how do we work with UN agencies, with humanitarian, to make sure that people are fed, you know, the kids can go to school, can do whatever. And when you ask the question to these displaced people, what they really dream is to go back to their places. But this place is the way they have to go back. You have to have a security. You have to have everything over there. So we are facing a kind of humanitarian problem, faced because of insecurity, and impact is huge. So we have to fix that, and we have to make sure that really working hard. If you don't do, then it can affect the other regions, the other countries in the region.
And can you see a way forward? Can you foresee a situation where this region can become stabilized? And if so, how do you think that will happen?
I don't think that UN can do alone. I think the UN is supporting the nations. There's a lot of talk among member states. Those countries also don't forget they're independent, they're sovereign, they have their you know, sovereignty. I think that discussion is being done in African Union, in a regional commission for you know, the West Africa, you call the ECOWAS, the Economic Commission for Africa, West Africa. Those discussions are going on among the Minister of Defense, Minister of Security. But of course, the country can come together and say, oh my goodness, this region is becoming very critical and really insecure. How do we go together? This is what we heard about the initiative of G5 Sahel, when you have Chad, Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali, and Mauritania. But now it's also being you know, looked at in a broad way of all the West Africa, because when you see, if you don't fix a problem, for example, a problem in Burkina Faso and Niger and Mali, you affect also other countries are affected. So this has to be looked at really very, and there's a lot of initiative going, being done now, discussion on how to improve the security in the region. Of course, with the support of European Union, with other member states, Canada, US, and others. And you have, like today, we have actually in Mali almost like 34 troop contributor countries. And all these countries also want to help Mali to see also the same partners also working in Burkina Faso, working in Niger. There's a lot of initiative going on. I think maybe one day we continue to have hope that it's going to be stabilized.
The climate, of course, has been important to you in development work in the past, of course, dealing with droughts and other forms of extreme weather that can affect people. Yeah. But now it seems that it's moved much more into the peace and security field. It's being seen as a threat multiplier. Can you explain a bit about how the issue of climate change has impacted your work?
I think if you look at the Sahel region, it has been already a lot of initiative on the ecosystem, how you fix the environment, because it's very dry, it's very, you know, people are very resilient. I came from a country really in completely East Africa when everything's green. And when you go to this region, you just find almost everything is really dry, especially in the north. And it has been already, even before even a crisis, before all this challenge, it has been hard. But this population was very resilient to establish some ecosystem to protect the environment. But today, it's being challenged by not only for Sahara, the desert is really getting down and down and down. But at the same time, this conflict doesn't help, because the population are being displaced. When there is no way to fix the environment you live in and protect the environment and do whatever. So that is really exacerbating what we call the climate change, really is affecting that region. So in one sense, you have the conflict, you know, and then at the same time also you have the climate change challenge. You have some of the place I used to, you know, walk around and drive around. You have even some river which are almost, you know, dry. So this is the issue we really have to address, not only conflict, but also the climate change can be harsh, people.
And you're seeing that conflict in certain instances is being caused or exacerbated by climate change.
It's exacerbating, absolutely. And it's also Another thing we have to address, we talk about SDG. When we talk about SDG number one or number two, is also to find zero hunger and food insecurity. If you are displaced, you don't have time to do the agriculture, to fix your culture. You have climate change, it's also exacerbating. So we really, somehow we are worried about the next year or next, the next years will be very, very harsh for population. We may face a big crisis for food insecurity and how to feed people, because if there is insecurity, there is no way to do the culture, the agriculture, and there is no way to occupy the space and do a lot of taking care of the environment, taking care of the planet.
And you can't change the environment, as you said, but can you plan for that kind of situation? Can you help the population to adapt better, be more resilient?
Wherever we can, we do. We do. Even there is this insecurity, maybe it's one point I have to emphasize. Even we have insecurity, we are still delivering on the ground. Because, of course, we have this peacekeeping mission is helping. For example, I'm really sitting down with the civilian and the military to have a dialogue, to look at how we can secure some of the zone. While the security is offered by the forces, then we can go and deliver. That's the place with maybe having the police close to us and doing the patrol, we can continue to deliver. But in the same time, humanitarian have been very, very, amazingly delivering on the ground by having what we call the acceptance policy. They can deliver everywhere. They can just go in even remote areas to save life. So in that sense, we can say that not everywhere is like that. We can just say like we can deliver, not probably in the long run, we can just think about the stability, but sustainability is going to, when we have peace, really peace and stability, we can hope to have long-term stability. But at least now, thanks God, we are trying to see what we can save life for people and offer some of the basic services.